I'd like to start in the book of Revelation this morning. We're going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. We're going to be in 1 Peter. We're going to scripture in Ephesians, Romans, Colossians, and Hebrews. Revelation, and then 1 Peter, and then Ephesians, and then Romans, Colossians, and Hebrews. I'll give you time to get through them when we go, but right now we're starting out in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. He said that in verse 6, he said, I beheld, and lo, there was in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And in verse 9, it says, Thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. What can the blood of Jesus do? This scripture here tells us in Revelation that this lamb, it was slain. It redeemed us to God by the blood. What can Jesus' shed blood do for you today? We're going to look at five words that every believer should this morning know. You should not only know them, but you should be able, as a Christian, as a believer, as someone that has a spirit of Christ living with inside of you, you should not only know them, but you should be able to explain them to someone else. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for that blood that was shed for each one of us, Lord, that covers a multitude of sins, Lord. Father, that as you came and dwelt among us, Lord, that you laid your life down for us, Lord, you suffered for us, and we thank you for that blood that was shed for us, Lord. We thank you for that blood that gives us a newness in life, Lord, through that Spirit of Jesus that lives inside of us. Father, and I just pray that we would take this scripture, Lord, and it would be embedded in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, and that we may be able to share the love of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Father, we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. The five words that every believer should know and be able to explain, and the first word would be the word redeemed. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you back up just a few pages from Revelation, you'll find yourself in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 18 through 19 is what we're going to read. When you get there, say amen. Amen. First Peter, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now this scripture here tells us, says, you know that you were not redeemed. First it tells us what we were not redeemed with. And then the last part of it tells us how we were redeemed. And it says, by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were redeemed. We were purchased from a life of slavery to sin. That's what you can put down as redeemed in. If you don't understand what it is, it was purchased. Your life in Jesus Christ, it was purchased for the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood was without spot, and it was without blemish. And one thing I want to point out in this verse 18 that really jumped out at me, and it says, know ye that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You know, and I've heard people say things that, well, I've been taught all my life that baptism that could save me, or I've been taught all my life that church membership could save you. That's what this verse is talking about. He says that is vain. That vain tradition taught to you from your fathers. And you know, there are things taught in a lot of churches today that have been taught for so long that people think they are God. One of them being baptized as a baby that you can be saved. That's not what the Word of God teaches. That's what this verse is talking about, is those vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers or from your forefathers. That's why when we read and study the Word of God, when you hear somebody give out the Word of God, you need to study it for yourself. Do not take my word for it. Do not take anybody else's word for it, but look and see what the Scripture says for yourself. So what is the first one? Redeemed. You've been purchased. You've been purchased from a life of slavery to sin. The second one we'll find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And that is going to be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. What do we have? The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That you have been redeemed, you've been purchased by his blood, and you receive the forgiveness of sins. That is the only way, the only means, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can receive forgiveness for the wrongs of your past, for your present, for the future. No matter what it is, your sins have been totally washed away. Once the blood of Jesus has been applied, God can now view his children through that veil. And that veil is the blood of Christ. And that sin or sins has been taken care of. And that blood of Jesus that is pure and holy and without blemish makes you what? Pure and holy. And makes you righteous. That's the only way that we can become righteous, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. The third one is in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. So we got redeemed. We can receive forgiveness. And the third one is that we can be justified. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Are you there? Say amen. Got your Bibles? Got them open? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Look what it says. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you and I were still sinners, He died for us. He died for us knowing what we were going to do, knowing how we were going to treat him, knowing the things that we were going to do wrong. It wasn't that we got cleaned up and then we went to him. He died for us just the way we are. Much more than being now justified by his blood. How are we justified? By his blood. By the blood of Jesus Christ. We shall be what? Saved from the wrath through him. That wrath that is coming is the judgment of God upon the world. But we have been justified by his blood. When you accept Jesus Christ, the blood has been applied to your life. You are no longer guilty. Justified. Just like you had never sinned. Isn't that awesome? Just like you had never sinned. You're no longer guilty. You are standing guilty before God, facing the wrath of God and judgment that is coming to this world as a result of sin. But now you're justified. Now you're standing before the Almighty God just like you had never sinned. So when that takes place, what happens? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood. How's peace made? Through the blood. Who's peace made with? Having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, ye now have he reconciled, or you've made peace with God in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So the fourth one would be reconciled. You are reconciled to a holy God. And we were, it says that in verse 21, that we were alienated and that we were, our minds are an enemy against God. And you know, you stop and think about that, it's our natural instinct is to always blame God no matter what happens. If something happens in your life, all of a sudden your world's upside down, all of a sudden there's some kind of disaster, it's our natural instinct to blame God. You know, you can see the same thing in children. When something happens, they automatically blame their mother. You ever notice that? You mothers ever notice that? How your kids will automatically blame you. Dad can be sitting right there. It ain't Dad's fault. But it's automatically the mother's fault. This is the same process here, except with us, it's with God. We automatically blame God because our minds are an enemy against God. But when you have been redeemed, when you have received forgiveness, when you've been justified, you're no longer guilty, so you have been reconciled back to a holy God. And that peace that comes over you, that's that peace that passes all understanding. And that's why you have that peace that consumes you, because you have now been reconciled to God. Things were in order the way they were before, the way they were in the garden, before sin came upon the scene. You have been reconciled. You have been brought into a relationship with God. Because if you've been redeemed, if you have received forgiveness, if you have been justified, then you have been reconciled, you have been brought into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, you have made peace through the blood. Verse 21 says that you were alienated, you were an enemy, but now you have been reconciled, you have made peace not only in your heart, but in your mind. You have been changed from a sinner to a saint. Isn't that awesome? Don't let people tell you that you cannot be a saint, because you are a saint if the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied. It doesn't put you on a pedestal and make you bigger and mightier and holier than anybody else, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can become a saint. Amen? The fifth one is sanctified. Hebrews 13:12. You're sanctified. The first one was redeemed. If you're redeemed, you receive forgiveness. If you've received forgiveness, then you are justified. You're no longer guilty. You've been reconciled to a holy God, and now you have been sanctified. What does sanctified mean? It means to be set apart, does it not? As Christians, as somebody that's been brought into a relationship with God, that's been reconciled to God, you have been set apart. You have been sanctified. Hebrews 13:12. Are you there? Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might what? Sanctify the people. How are they sanctified? With his own blood. You are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are set apart as God's people. You're sanctified the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let me go back and read this all again. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You know, that part right there is very interesting. Without the gate. Did you catch that? He didn't die in there by the temple. He didn't die next to the temple. He was crucified outside the city. Was he not? Out away from the temple. You know, that should tell us right there that it's not about the church. It's not about baptism. It's not about church membership. But it's about the blood of Jesus Christ that was slain as a lamb that was spotless and blameless for our sins outside the city. It's not about the church. It's not about church membership. It is not about being baptized, but it's about applying the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. And I believe that's why that's put there, is for us. He suffered without the gate. He went to that hill called Golgotha. He was crucified. He gave his life. They didn't nobody take it. They didn't nobody take it. He suffered without the gate. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about being reconciled to a holy God. It's about being justified just like you had never sinned. It's about being redeemed. If you're here this morning and you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have been redeemed. You have received forgiveness if you have asked for it. You have been justified if you have accepted him as Savior. You have been reconciled to a mighty and holy God if you have acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he has set you apart. He has set you apart. So you just don't get saved and then go off and live the way you want to. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we should live that life that is set apart, that just like he went outside the gate and suffered and died, we need to be out, separate from the world. People need to look at our lives and realize that there is something different about us, that we're not like those that are that are here, we are set apart. The Spirit of God is within us. Amen. So what happens in that sanctification process? Do you realize that's the work of the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that Mary Lou is still being sanctified? Whew. Isn't that awesome? It's a lifelong maturing process. And it begins when you apply the blood of Jesus to your life. That's what sanctification is. You're set apart. You're continually growing and maturing and learning about your Creator, about your Lord and Savior. It's a process. Can the world see that you are set apart? If they can't see that, there's something wrong. If they can't see that there is a difference between worldly things and you, then there's something somewhere that has been missed. Maybe you are going off of a tradition that something has been taught to you. Don't take my word for it. Look these up for yourself. I'll be glad to give them to you. This is not my words. These are God's words. There's no other way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You got to go through Jesus Christ, and that is the only way. To be redeemed, to receive forgiveness, to be justified, to be reconciled, and to be sanctified. What was that scripture? Where were we at in Sunday school? 1 Timothy chapter 4, wasn't it? About to make me nervous because I'm going to have somebody come up here and find it for me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, where was that? This really caught my eye there. How many of you didn't catch my eye? Got my ear. I got thinking about it. Verse 15, it says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. The reason I bring that up, it's our human nature to get to thinking that we're this or that. You know, and it doesn't matter what we think about ourselves, but it's how everybody else sees us. Because a lot of times when you hear the word, you think that's for somebody else. You get to thinking, boy, I wish my old Uncle So-and-so was here, or I wish brother was here, or sister was here. There's so many times that this word is for us, that this word is for me, and not somebody else. And if you're here this morning and you have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, this word is for you. Call upon Him while He is near. Today is the day of your salvation. It's not about getting your act together. It's not about cleaning things up and then coming to Him. It's about coming to Him just as you are and applying the blood of Jesus Christ. It's about being redeemed. It's about receiving that forgiveness. It's about being reconciled to a holy God and about being sanctified once you have done that. Amen.